And we're holding on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the second to last line. We've been discussing halachos of Birkas Kohanim, because that was one of the things we said at the beginning of the perek has to be said in Lashon Kodesh. So now we've been going through beginim and agada related to Birkas Kohanim. So the last thing we were talking about was we said that Birkas Kohanim has to be ponim keneged ponim. It has to be face to face. The Kohanim are facing the Tzibur, and the Tzibur is facing the people. So we discussed, what about, for example, if there's a, so they have to obviously be facing in that direction. And we said, for that reason, if they're behind the Kohanim, then they're not included in the Bracha. On the other hand, we said, if there's a Mechitza in Shul, even if it's a Mechitza, Shul Barzal, an iron curtain can't separate between the Jewish people and Hashem. So now we boil the who, they have the question, Sdodin Mahu. What about the sides? What about the people who are standing to the sides of the Kohanim? So we said the ones in back are not included in the bracha. What about the ones to the sides? So Omar Abba Mar Baravashi Toshma. Now we learn in a Mishnah in connection with sprinkling paradruma water, we have when it comes to sprinkling paradruma water, you have to have kavana to sprinkle. It can't just be that the water dribbles on it by itself. So Mishnah says, Miskaven lahazis lafana, if a person intended to sprinkle the paradruma water in front of him, so there were kalim in front of him and he intended to sprinkle on them, vihizal achrav, and instead, by mistake, he sprinkled something behind him. So even though there are kalim over there, or la'achra, but he's a lafanav, or if he intended to sprinkle behind him, and he ended up sprinkling on things that were in front of him, haza ase psula, either way, the hazah is possible, because you have to have kavana you have to have kavana that you're sprinkling. You don't necessarily have to have kavana, you don't necessarily have to have kavana on the actual keli itself. But you have to have kavana about what's in front of you. There's actually a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam on the one hand versus the Ravid on the other hand. Does it mean that you have to actually have kavana on the thing itself? But the point is, at least you have to have at the very least, according to everybody, you have to have kavana that you're sprinkling in this direction on the kalim that are in this direction. But the Mishnah continues, Lefonov, but if he meant to sprinkle on Kalim in front of him, Vehiza al Tzdodin Shabafonov, and instead he sprinkled on Kalim that are on the sides in front of him, meaning in other words, they're not right in front of him, they're off to the side, but if you were to draw a line straight in front of him, they would be in front of that line, then Hazah Osek Sheda, then the Hazah is kosher, because those are considered like Lefano. So therefore, that would answer the question, as far as the Kohenim as well, as far as Duchening, that anyone who's past that line would be fine, but anybody who's before that line would be possible. So now, that's how Rashi learns. So it comes out, in other words, according to Rashi, you actually have to be someplace on the line in front of the Kohanim or further. And if you're behind that line, even though you're right next to the Kohanim, then you wouldn't be included in the bracha. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that says, you see from that, that people who are on the sides are included in the bracha, so it comes out, according to what Tosfos is quoting, that even if they are actually on the sides of the Kohanim, then they are included in the bracha. That's how it's brought. the Rambam brings it. The Torah brings like that. And in Shulchan Aruch it mentions it also. So the Taz says at least what you should be doing if you're standing on the side. First of all, ideally you shouldn't. Ideally you should move so that you're past the line of the front of the Kohanim. But if you can't for whatever reason, then you can be Yotze based on Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara over here. You can be Yotze if you're standing directly to the sides of the Kohanim, but you do need to make sure to turn your face towards the Kohanim, because we learned before, because Kohanim has to be Omer Lahem, it has to be like when one person is speaking to another. It can happen sometimes that you're at right angles to each other, but you're certainly not going to have that one person is facing in one direction and the other one is facing in the cardinal opposite direction. So you can't have here the Kohanim are facing towards the, they can't have the Kohanim are facing here towards the west of the shul, because they're standing in front of their own Kodesh, and you're going to be standing on their sides and facing towards the east. That surely won't work. So therefore, you would have to turn your face to the side, to the side that the Kohenim are on, and that way, at least, it's more ponim k'neged ponim. So again, according to Rashi, even that wouldn't work, but according to Tosfos and the Rambam and everybody else, that that b'dieved would work. Okay. Now the Gemara digresses to a din in the halachas of laning, and then we're going to go back to dinim of duchening. What is this din doing over here as far as laning? So we're going to have, actually, on Amud Beis, we're going to have a whole bunch of dinim in connection with laning. So so maybe, in fact, this belongs over there. Maybe, in fact, the copyists or whatever put it over here by mistake, and it actually belongs further on. But there are different mafarshim who bring different possibilities of what it's doing over here. One of them being the Nitziv says that we're going to be talking about a halacha that once they start laning, then you're not allowed to talk. And therefore, the idea would be it's similarly during Birkas Kohanim, you're not allowed to be talking during Birkas Kohanim.
Coming back to the position of the people facing the Kohanim or on the sides, when they were receiving the brachas and the klalas between our Greece and our Eval, they were not exactly facing either way. They were in between. So how come now we're saying
they were,
that actually,
they were facing towards Hagrizim? And first of all, they were facing towards Hagrizim and saying the Brachas and facing towards Har Evel and saying the Klolos. But second of all, there it doesn't say Omer Lahem. By Birkas Kohanim, it does. The fact that you have to have Biponim, Kineged Ponim, we learn from the expression Omer Lahem, which you only have that by Birkas Kohanim.
Omer Lahem means you're going to tell them. Who says it
Omer
means
Lahem
that...
say to them, which means that it has to be like the way one person says to another, face to face. You don't talk to the back of somebody's head. Whereas
not to the back, but it doesn't mean that you have to be right in the front.
But that's what we're saying. So we're saying if you're behind the Kohanim, then you're not included in the bracha. As far as if you're in front, if you're beyond the line, that's if you're in front of the line, that's in that the if you're in front of if you were to draw a straight line in front of the Kohanim and you're in front of that line, then you're for sure good. The question was, what about the sides? So that's the thing. Rashi learns that the question to begin with was about the sides that are not directly in front of the Kohen. And the answer was, as long as you're in front of that line, you're good. Which implies that according to Rashi, if you're behind that line, you're not good, even though you're next to, even though you're by the side of the Kohanim, according to Tosfos and the Rambam and everybody else, you are good in that case as well, as long as, as the Taz said, you're facing towards the Kohanim, because then at least that can be called Omer Lahem.
So what's the halacha?
That's the halacha. Is lachatchila, you should try to be past that line. If you draw a line in front of where the Kohanim are, you should try to be past that line. But if you can't, then you can be, if you can't easily get there, the shul is crowded or whatever, then you can be by the side of the Kohanim and you just turn your face in their direction.
And you're yotze.
And you're yotze. But if you're behind that line, now it's not a matter of being yotze, really. I mean, you know, to a certain extent, you know, the Sfarim on mitzvahs do talk about there is a mitzvah on the Jewish people to be blessed, just as there is a mitzvah on the Kohanim to bless, but it's not really a matter of being yotze per se. It's a matter of, are you included in the bracha or not? But if you're behind the Kohanim, meaning if you draw a line parallel to the backs of the Kohanim and you're behind that line, then for sure you're not yotze according to everybody. All right. So anyway, so it didn't create a Torah. And again, what this is doing over here is not 100% certain, but there is the Nitziv brings up the possibility that we're going to say you can't talk during Kriyas HaTorah, and by the same token, you can't talk during Birkas Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Omer Rava Bar Rav Huna, Kivin Sheniftach Sefer Torah, once the Sefer Torah is open. Now Rashi explains that the word opened over here means opening as in beginning to lane, but we'll talk in a second. There are different opinions about that. Anyway, also, let's saper, the tzibur is not allowed to talk. Afilu b'dvar halacha, they're not even allowed to talk in matters of halacha. Shenemar, uchifischa, in the Gemara it says over here, uvifischa, actually the pasuk actually says, uchifischa, when he opened, omdu kolam, all the people omdu. Now, omdu, on the face of it, means they stood, but the Gemara is going to explain that it means that they were quiet. This is talking about, and in Sefer Ezra, you have Ezra, in later times was divided into two books called Ezra and Nehemiah, but really they're one book of Tanakh. So in the Nehemiah portion, it describes how at one point, shortly after the Jewish people had come back to Eretz Yisrael in the second Beis HaMikdash, they gathered the Ezra and Nehemiah and the Levium gathered them together to hear the Torah lane, and it describes how Ezra leaned from the Torah in public over there on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And it describes over there uchafischoi omdu kol ha'am, when he opened, then all the people omdu, which the Gemara is going to say means they were quiet. So now again, Rashi understands that it means when he began. There are other Rishonim who understand. The Rambam writes that the Rambam uses a similar expression. He also says once he starts laning. But the Magen Avraham points out that actually the word kepischoi can actually mean literally when he opened the Sefer Torah. So that would imply that as soon as the Sefer Torah is opened, then already you're not allowed to talk. And he brings from the Yerushalmi that it's so that being the case, then so you'd have a machlokas, a poskim in short, whether you're allowed to talk once the Sefer Torah was opened before the Baal Korah actually starts laning, or you're also only from when he starts laning. Anyway, the Gemara says, the ein amida elish sika. The word amida over here, the word uchafischoi omdu cholam, doesn't mean that it means that they were quiet. As we find a pasuk in Eov, you have Eov's friends are debating with him. He's complaining about all his tzaris, and they're giving him different speeches to explain. And eventually, they give up trying to argue with him because they realize they're not getting anywhere with him. And so then Elihu starts speaking up, and he gives a couple of speeches of his own. And he says, "V'hoi chalti ki lo yedaberu." He says, "I was waiting." He says, I was waiting until they're not speaking. Ki omdu, when they stopped, onu oid, and they're not answering anymore. And then I realize now I have to take things up and I have to speak. So we see that the word omdu over there means to speak. So the same way, by omdu chola, the word omdu rather means to stop speaking, to be quiet. So the same way we see by the people, by Ezra's laning, also means that they were quiet and they didn't say anything. With that said, there are poskim who say that the fact is the word omdu does have the simple meaning as well, to stand, and that would mean that you'd be required to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. So there are people who are careful about that. The poskim do talk about that point, that there is an inyan to stand by Kriyas HaTorah. I see it here all the time in Shul, actually. Rabbi Ozdaba always stands for the laning. So technically it's not required al pi halacha in the end, but there is definitely that inyan. What we're saying over here is you can't talk during Kriyas HaTorah. Tosfos points out that there's a Gemara in Brochus where we see it says over there that during the laning, Rav Sheshis would turn in a different direction and learn, because he would say, look, you know, they're doing their thing, I'm doing my thing. So how does that fit with over here that you're not allowed to talk with Dvar Halacha? So Tosfos gives a few answers. One is that he was turning in a different direction. That would make it mutter. Another one is Rav Sheshis was blind, so he can't learn Torah Shebachsav. So therefore, he's entitled at that point to learn Torah Shebapeh. And a third answer is that he's Torosso Yom Nosso. You can't apply that to anybody else. The final halacha is basically like that last answer. So therefore, only somebody who's Torosso Yom Nosso would be able to be learning something else during Kriyas HaTorah. As far as laning, there's the question also brought in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to do Shnayim Mikrevech and Targum during Kriyas HaTorah. After all, that is the same thing as they're doing. They're laning the parasha, and you're also reading the parasha to yourself. So that you have different opinions about in Shulchan Aruch. But in practice, it says it's really best not to do that either. Just to be quiet and listen to the Baal Korah. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Rav Zera, Omer Rav Chista Mehocha. Rav Zera says in the name of Rav Chista. You have another source for that, because the same pasuk, and the few pesukim later, in connection with Ezra's laning, it says, or actually a few pesukim earlier or whatever, it says V'ozne Chol Ha'om Al Sefer HaTorah. The ears of all the people were towards the Sefer Torah, implying, of course, that they're listening carefully and not talking. So we see that you're not allowed to talk even in Dvar Halacha during laning. Okay. Now, getting back to dinim of birkas koyanim, the omer of Shimon Levi, kol koyan shalai not al yadav, any koyan who didn't wash his hands before going up to duchen, lo yisar es kapav, should not do birkas koyanim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, su'u yadechem kodesh uvorchu es Hashem, lift up your hands in holiness and bless Hashem. So implying, in other words, when you're lifting up your hands, that then you have to have your hands have to be kodesh, your hands have to be holy, which means that you have to wash them. Now Rashi uses the expression lefnei aloisir laduchan before going up to the duchan, which implies that would be right before. Tosfos brings, on the other hand, from Rashi that not necessarily. If a person washed his hands in the morning and he knows they're still tahor, then he wouldn't actually need to wash again. Then they wouldn't need to actually wash again before duchening. And Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that and says maybe not necessarily. The fact is, there are gemaras elsewhere that talk about the idea takef l'natilas yadayim bracha as soon as possible after natilas yadayim should be the bracha. To a certain extent, that refers to washing for bread and also to mayim achronim. But to a certain extent, it also applies to the washing before birkas koyanim, and therefore it should be as soon as possible before birkas koyanim. Tosfos mentions in this connection, by the way, which is negeya as far as washing for bread, that the amount of time that would be considered takef is no more than the time it takes to walk 22 amos, because another one of those takefs that we find in Gemara is takef l'smicha shchita, as soon as possible after the smicha on the end, the head of an animal for a korban should be the shchita. And between sometimes you had people, we learned in Masech the Nazir, for example, that certain people who are bringing korbanos stand in Shaar Nikaner, but then the shchita takes place closer to the Mizbeach, 22 amos away. So we see that distance can still be considered takef, but not necessarily more than that. So it comes out, based on what Tosfos is saying, that even if the Kohen washed his hands in the morning, he still should wash them before duchening. Here also the Rambam holds like Rashi in that regard and says that once he washed in the morning, if he knows his hands are still clean, he doesn't have to wash them again. Nevertheless, in Shulchan Aruch, it says more like Tosfos, you should wash them again before duchening, unless you're in a situation where you can't or whatever, and then you can be somech on the washing in the morning. Even, by the way, even on Yom Kippur, even though normally you're not allowed to wash, but Yom Kippur is an exception, and the Kohenim wash their full hands on Yom Kippur before duchening. More on Birkas Koyanim. Now let's talk about the bracha of Birkas Koyanim. The Gemara says, Shalu Talmidim as Rabbi Lozab and Shamua, Bameh Erach De Yom. Rabbi Lozab and Shamua's Talmidim asked him, with what zchus did you live long? There's a medrash that says that he lived to be 105 years old, and he was actually one of the Asara Arugim Malchus, so conceivably he might have even lived longer. But anyway, so in what zchus did you live so long? Although there is a different explanation that says that they're asking him what specific midah throughout your life were you always careful with. So Omalahan, he tells them a few things. First of all, throughout my life, I never made the shul a shortcut. Now you could. You have a shul has more than one door. You could conceivably go in from one side and then go out from the other. He was always careful not to do that. Now, la halacha, you're not allowed to do that. Obviously, he's not going to tell them that he followed black letter halacha. So the explanation is, in other words, there are cases where halacha, a person would be allowed to do that. For example, if he went into the shul in order to daven or whatever, then he's allowed to, or even just to say a pasuk. You have, in principle, al pi halacha, if you have a situation where you need to go into a shul for whatever reason, where it has nothing to do with davening or laning, for example, to call somebody or whatever, you say a posik in there, so that might make it more legitimate to use it as a kapandaria. Another example would be if there was already a shortcut there through that place before the shul was ever built. Nevertheless, even in those cases, Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua was careful not to do that. Maushal says somewhat differently that you have the strict halacha about that is only in the Bais Hamikdash. Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua was careful about that also in a shul. Anyway, that was the first one. The second one, he says, "V'lo pasayti al roshe am kodesh." I never stepped over the heads of the holy people. Meaning, you can have the people in those days in the Bais Hamikdash sat on the floor or on low benches or whatever. Sometimes you might have a person is late coming in and he has to step over them. If you think of like people stepping over on the tops of the benches on 770 to get to their places, So you're not supposed to do that. It shows disrespect for the people. So he was always careful about that. Again, it does say in the Gemara and Yevamos and in other places that you're really not allowed to do that to begin with, but you have cases. Again, we learned in Yevamos that there are cases where you're allowed to, for example, if Rabbim Tzrichim Loi, if you're a person that the Rabbim need you to be there in the Mismedrash, because, for example, you know a lot and people are always turning to you with questions. Nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was careful about that as well. And the third one, he says, "V'leinasasi kapai b'loy bracha." I never did nasias kapayim. I never duchen without a bracha. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was a kohen, so I never duchen without a bracha. Now, what's the chiddush on the face of it? Of course, you have to make a bracha before it. So there are a large number of explanations among Rishonim and Achronim what exactly Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua's chiddush is with that. So in fact, there are Mefarshim who explain that Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua himself was misakin this bracha, that before his time, maybe it wasn't necessarily, they didn't necessarily say a bracha before Birkas Kohanim, and the Svara may have been, Birkas Kohanim itself is a bracha, it doesn't require a bracha before it. But then the idea would be, according to one explanation, is that the Tura Evan says that in fact he was the one who made the takana to make this bracha. So therefore he's highlighting that. And then there's a lot of other explanations. The Ritva says that actually that's itself what he's informing us. Of course you say the bracha, but you should be aware that the Kohen who says this bracha before he duchens is going to be marich yomim for that schus alone. He deserves to live long. And there's different other points. Marsha makes a point over here that after all, the whole point of Birkas Kohanim, we said, is really Hashem then comes and benches the Jewish people. So therefore, you have to ask, why are you even doing Birkas Kohanim? On the face of it, Hashem could just bench us directly. Nonetheless, the fact is it is a mitzvah in the Torah, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua recognized the importance of it, and that it deserves a bracha, and therefore he was zoicha to Arichus Yom. And then there are various other different explanations of what Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua's chiddush is. Rav Moshe gives an explanation there, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that even when Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was chazen, and he himself would be duchening, like we talked about yesterday, where in principle, if the Kohen is chazen, he can duchen as long as he's not going to get confused where he is in Shemoneh Esrei, he would also be careful to make the bracha over there. So we see that there's a bracha to be said. There's also, there are Rishonim, I think the Meiri says, we're not even talking about the bracha, Asher Kedushanim with the Shasir Shal Aaron. Rather, we're talking about the other brachas and tefillas that the Kohen says before and after Duchening, as the Gemara is going to say soon. Anyway, my mevarich, what is the bracha before Birkas Kohanim? Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Chista, the bracha is Asher Kedushanu b'kdushasei shel Aaron, that Hashem made us holy with the Kedusha of Aaron. In general, by the way, whenever a Kohen makes a bracha on a mitzvah that is specific to Kohenim, he says that nusach. For example, in the time of the Beis Mikdash, when they ate Kobanis, and this is how it'll be very soon, when the third Beis Mikdash is built, B'mehir of Yameinu Amen, that the Kohenim would say a bracha before they eat their portions of the Kobanis, Asher Kedushanim, B'kdushasei shel Aaron, V'tzivanu, and gave us the mitzvah to eat such and such a korban, and similarly with other things. Anyway, so Asher Kedushanim, B'kdushasei shel Aaron, V'tzivanu, L'vorech es Am Yisrael Ba'ava, and he commanded us to bless the Jewish people with love. There's a lot of interesting explanations why we have to mention this point with love. After all, the Torah specifically doesn't specifically mention the point about benching them with love. There is, the Zohar makes a point very strongly that the Kohen has to love the Tzibur and vice versa. And if not, the Zohar says if there's a sinner, if there's a hatred between them, then it's actually dangerous for the Kohen to do Birkas Kohenim. So that relates to the what? Not Kohen Shoter, we're not talking about. We're talking about a Kohen who, for whatever reason, is not getting along with the people, and there's a sinner between him and them. Then the Zohar says it's dangerous for him to do Birkas Kohenim. So that's one meaning of Ba'ava. But where we get it from, there's different interesting explanations. One very interesting explanation that's brought from a Makubal named Rav Moshe David Vali, is one of the Rebbe's, he's one of the Rebbeim of the Ramchal. He says a remez in it. In Italian and also in Latin and a number of other related languages, the word Omer means love. So therefore, the Torah is hinting. When it says Omer Lahem, it's hinting that it has to be with love. So that's the bracha. Ki oka kare mai Omer. Next, what does the Kohen say when he's moving his feet? We learned yesterday that the Kohen has to begin moving from his place sometime during the bracha of Ritzei to come up to the Dufan. So after he moved his feet, So uh, So after he moved his feet, that could mean, Rashi explains, once he's already standing in front of the Aron, with his face towards the Aron, doing Modim, so what is he saying? The Rambam explains that it means we're talking about when he's on his way, walking up to the Duchan, the Shulchan Aruch had Paskin like Rashi. So therefore, we're talking about what he says when he's on, when he's standing over there, when the Kohenim are standing over there in front of the Aron, on the Duchan, before Birkas Kohenim, what does he say? So he says, standing on the platform in front of the Aron, or just on the floor in front of the Aron, ready for Birkas Kohenim, but they haven't turned around to face the Tzibur yet. They're still facing the Aron. So he says, Yehirotzen b'fanecha Hashem alakenu, shetehe brocha zu shetzivisonu l'varachas amcha Yisrael, that this brocha that you commanded us to bless your people Yisrael, lo yehe b'michshov oven, there shouldn't be any stumbling or any aveva in it. The stumbling would include, for example, that there should be an ava between him and the Jewish people. It includes, for example, that the bracha of Birkas Kohenim and Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha include the bracha of wealth. So it means that wealth should be for good purposes rather than for stumbling. And there's a few other explanations. The Rambam's nusach of the bracha, and this is how it's also brought in the Siddur, has a few extra words. There's a few extra phrases, but it amounts to the same thing. Next, v'chimahader apam itziburah my omar. What does the Kohen say after he's turned away from the tzibur? So he finished the three brachas of Birkas Kohenim. Now he turns back to face towards the Aron and stays there until the end of Sim Shalom. So what is he saying during that time? So the Gemara says, Adberei Rav Chista l'Rav Ukva v'Dorash. Rav Chista Adberei to Rav Ukva and he daushim. There's several different explanations of what Adberei means. Rashi elsewhere explains that it means he took him for a walk, and during the walk, he explained to him this din. Rabbeinu Hanan all over there in that same Gemara in Beitza, says that it means that he prompted him, he coached him to say this betzibur. So he taught him this halacha and coached him how to say it betzibur. And there's a few other explanations that maybe it means when Rav Ukva was a reish kabusa. Maybe it means when Rav Chista, when Rav Ukva first took over the position of reish kabusa, then Rav Chista gave this as the drosha at his installation or something. Whatever. Anyway, so he daushed him like this. What the Kohenim say at that point is Ribono Shel Olam. Asinu Masha Gazauta Aleinu. We have done what you decreed on us. Now, why are we calling it that Hashem decreed it on us? So one point is, again, because we said, really, what's the reason behind Birkas Kohenim anyway? Again, according to Rabbi Akiva, as we talked about yesterday, Hashem himself benches the Jewish people anyhow. V'ani avorchem, Rabbi Akiva learns, means that Hashem benches us through the Kohenim. So why does he need the Kohenim for? He could just bench us directly. So therefore, that would be one reason to call it a gzeira. Another point, the Or Sameach makes a point. The Kohenim by Duchening are standing with their backs towards the Aron Kodesh. That's not usually a very respectful thing to do. So they're saying, we have no choice, Hashem, you were gozer on us to do it that way. Anyway, so we continue. They continue. Asei Manu Mashe Tachtanu. So you do with us what you promised us, that you'll agree with our bracha. As the pasuk says, Ashkifam Kodeshim and Hashemayim, we're going to look down from your holy residence from Shemayim and bless your people Yisrael. And that's we have that in the Siddur, and the Kohenim say that at that point after Duchening. So, by the way, the Gemara elsewhere mentions they're not allowed to say that out loud, because that would be Mosif ala brachas. That would be an example of Loisei Sipu. You're not allowed to add to the mitzvahs of the Torah. The Torah says, Koi Savorchu, bench them with these exact three brachas, no more. But here, where they're just saying it quietly to themselves, then that's fine. And they're not facing the tzibur, and they don't have their hands up and so forth, and it's fine. It's obviously not part of Birkas Kohenim, and therefore it's fine.
But then it says the Achal Duchenim.
Yeah, right. Okay. More dinim about Birkas Kohenim. Omer of Chista, Eina Kohenim Rashoin Lok of Kishre, it's by saying, Adshi Yachsu Pneim and Atzibur. The Kohenim are not allowed to bend their fingers. But like this, you know, you have the Kohenim doing Duchening, they have their fingers. They have their hands raised up, like we said before. That's why it's called Nesias Kapayim. You have the special configuration that they put their fingers in with spaces between them by based up in Kabbalah. So they're not allowed to bend their fingers ad shiyachsu pneim and atzibur until they turn around from the tzibur towards back towards the Aron, which is when the chazan begins Sim Shalom. So and the idea is because not covered for the tzibur to yeah. Another din, Omer Abzera, Omer Abchista, Ein HaKore, Rashoi Likris Koinim, Ad Sheyichlo Omer Mepia Tzibur. The Kore, the Chazen, is not allowed to call out Koinim until the Tzibur has finished answering Omer. So you have, they answered Omer to Moedim, and if now he calls out Koinim while they're saying Omer, then nobody's going to hear what he's saying. The Ein HaKoinim Rashoin LaHaskel B'Brocha Ad Sheyichlo Dibur Mepia Kore, and the Koinim are not allowed to begin Birkas Koinim until are not allowed to begin their bracha until the bracha until the word ends from the kodei. Now that can mean now what do we mean? I mean the kohenim say word by word as the so it means, in other words, so first of all, nowadays we have the chazan says word by word for the kohenim and they repeat after him. So they're not allowed to start any word until he finished the word that he's prompting them. He says yivarachcha, and only when he's finished do they start yivarachcha, and so forth with all the others. It also means, in other words, that they can't start the bracha asher kedushanim b'kashasa shel Aaron until he's finished saying koyanim. The einat tzibur ashoin lanas omen achetichla bracha mepia koyanim. The tzibur is not allowed to say omen for birkas koyanim by the bracha asher kedushanu and also by the three pesukim of birkas koyanim achetichla bracha mepia koyanim until the koyanim finish saying the bracha. In fact, in general, you have that by brachas. In general, you're not allowed to say a bracha until the entire words of the bracha are finished. You do have, by the way, sometimes you have chazonim that at the end of a word, especially on Yom Tov davening or whatever, they extend out the word very long, and that can be a problem. People don't realize, and they say amen prematurely. So you have to be careful about that. The Ena Koinim are showing Lahaskel, the bracha acheres, ad sheyichlo amen piatzibur, the Koinim are not allowed to begin the next bracha until the tzibur finishes saying amen. Now here you have the question, what do we mean? What's the bracha acheres? On the face of it, so if we're talking about after the tzibur answers amen to the bracha asher kedushanim b'kashasa shel Aaron, then the chazan, after anyway, wait for the chazan to say yivarechcha. Well, the Rambam actually paskins, and this is how in Sfarish HaKehilos they do it, adayim hazeh, the chazan does not prompt them with the first word yivarechcha. Right after they say the bracha asher kedushanu, and everybody answers amen, right after that the kohenim themselves begin with the word yivarechcha, because the Rambam learns the reason why the chazan has to prompt them word by word is in case they get mixed up. Well, yivarechcha being the first word, they're not going to get mixed up. Therefore, they don't need the chazan to prompt them. So, according to the Rambam, the Gemara would be saying over here that the kohenim are not allowed to begin the word yivarechcha until the tzibur is finished answering amen. If we say that we're talking about, if we say not like that, and the chazan prompts them with every word, including yivarechcha, then the bracha acheres would be that they're not allowed, would be, for example, that they can't begin the Ribbono Shel Olam Asinu Masha Gazarta Aleinu until the tzibur is finished answering amen. Tosfos discusses over here, now you have, normally the halacha is, when it comes to answering amen, you don't have to wait for every single person to finish answering amen. For example, you have a Gemara in Brachos that talks about that when a person is making hamotzi and everybody answers amen, and then he starts slicing the bread, he's allowed to start once most of the people have finished answering amen. Because after all, there are dinim. You're not supposed to say amen too quickly, but you're also not supposed to extend it out too long. So when you have some of the people are still answering amen, then they're anyway doing that wrongly, and therefore you don't have to do that. Here, Tosfos says not necessarily. Because here you have a different consideration, which is the concept called Trei Koli Loi Mishtami, two voices can't be heard. So if the tzibur is saying Amen and the chazan is saying and the chazan is saying Yivarechcha or whatever, or do any of the different things that we said over here in the Gemara's choreography, then you're going to have, they're not going to be able to hear. And that leads Tosfos into a discussion. I mean, so on the face of it, how do we hear Birkas Koinim? Anyway, you have a bunch of Koinim saying all together. And one answer is that the Tosfos gives a few different possibilities, but one of them is when a bunch of people are saying the same thing, then you're able to hear it. But when you have different people are saying different things, then they're going to conflict. So here, all the kohenim together are saying yivarechcha, all of them together are saying Hashem, and so forth. So therefore, that's fine. But if you have, for example, the tzibur is saying amen while the chazan is saying kohenim, or the tzibur or the chazan is saying yivarechcha, and meanwhile the kohenim start saying it or whatever, then there's going to be confusion and you're not going to hear them clearly. Okay, so that's how it is. So everyone has to wait for the previous one, in short. Another din of Birkas Koinim. The Kohenim are not allowed to turn their faces away from the Tzibur until the Chazan begins Sim Shalom. Now, Rashi says it doesn't even have to be actually that he begins Sim Shalom. It really means once the Chazan is ready to begin Sim Shalom, meaning that everybody answered Amen to Hatov Shimchol, that everybody answered Amen to the last bracha of the Kohenim. So they finished Yosem L'chol Shalom, and everybody answered Amen to that. And now, even if the Chazan, for whatever reason, hasn't begun Sim Shalom, Rashi learns that nevertheless, at that point, the Kohenim can already turn around. The Maharshal points out that that's how Rashi understands the Gemara, is it doesn't mean that he has to actually say the word Sim Shalom, just means that he's ready to begin Sim Shalom. So the Kohenim say one Nusach, and we say a different Nusach, but that's something else. We say that during Sim Shalom. Reb Zera continues, "Ve'en rashoin locker aglayim v'leilach." They're not allowed to move their feet and to actually walk away from there. Ad sheyigmor shliach tzibur sim shalom, until the Chazan finishes Sim Shalom. So here Rashi takes the time to give us the practical halacha, the practical order of Birkas Kohenim. More or less, what Rashi says over here is also Tosfos brings it on Amud Aleph and discusses it a little bit, and then more or less what Rashi is saying is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So you have like this: the Kohen moves from his place during Ritzei and comes in front of the Aron. While he's there in front of the Aron, he says the Yehi Ratzon that we said before. He extends out the Yehi Ratzon so that when everybody answers Amen to the Chazan's Bracha Moedim, to the Chazan's Bracha Atov Shimcha L'chol Na'alodes, at the same time they're saying Amen to his Yehi Ratzon, then if you have two or more Kohenim, then the Chazan calls Kohenim. We talked about yesterday, Rabbi Natam holds that the Chazan should not be calling Kohenim because he says it's a hefsek, but everybody else disagrees with him. Lamai said the almost universal minhag is that the Chazan says of the Kohenim of the Kavaseinu and then says Kohenim out loud, but again, only if there are two or more Kohenim. Then the Kohenim turn around. And they start saying the bracha asher kedushanu. In Shulchan Aruch, actually, it mentions there are different opinions. Should they be saying the bracha asher kedushanu while they're facing the Aron or while they're facing the Tzibur? So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings actually that what you should do is they do both. They start saying the bracha while they're facing the Aron, and as they're in the middle of saying the bracha, they turn around, and that way they're yotze both dais. Then Rashi continues. They say the brachas. After that, after everybody says Amen into the last thing to Shalom, then they turn around. They can bend their fingers if they want. The Chazan begins Sim Shalom. While he's saying Sim Shalom, the Kohenim say the Ribono Shel Olam. Again, they take their time with it until the Chazan finishes brachas Am Yisrael Shalom, and everybody answers Amen. That way, the Amen is covering his bracha of Sim Shalom as well as their Ribono Shel Olam, and then they're done. So that's the order of Birkas Kohenim in a nutshell. One thing, by the way, Tosfos mentions as a side point is Tosfos also brings this up in a few other places in Shas. If a Kohen worshipped Avodah Zarah, is he ever allowed to duchen again? So first Tosfos says that no. There's a Gemara in Brachas that says that if a Kohen killed somebody, he's never allowed to duchen again. And all the more so if he worshipped Avodah Zarah, converted to another religion, Chas V'Shalom, then certainly not. On the other hand, Tosfos says, Rabbi Negershim says that no, as long as he did Tshuva, he could. He could also get the first Aliyah to the Torah, because once he did Tshuva, he returns to his Kedusha. This is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says that if a Kohen converted to another religion, even Islam, which is not Avodah Zarah, then he's not allowed to duchen or to get the first Aliyah to the Torah until he does Tshuva. Once he does Tshuva, then yes, we accept him as a full-fledged Kohen, and he can go back to getting the first Aliyah and to duchen. And Shulchan Aruch mentions a point that there are a few averas that disqualify a Kohen from Birkas Kohen, and one of them taka is if you kill the person based on that Gemara. But other than that, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you kill the goy, I don't know, the expression is shahorak is a nefesh, l'chora includes a goy as well, but I don't know. Anyway, In Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that other than that, though, most Averis don't pass the Koyim from Birkas Koyim. Now, you the Yisrael, are apt to think, what? I mean, this Rosha is going to give me a bracha. What is it helping? The fact is, you've got to realize the bracha is coming through Hashem, is coming from Hashem, through the Koyim, and he's the one who empowered them, and therefore, don't you be worrying about his Averis. He still has the power to give you brachas that the Eivishter empowered him. Now we're basically done with halachas. Now we're not really. We're going to continue further down the Amud with halachas of Birkas Koyanim, but now the Gemara is going to digress to some more halachas of Leinim, because there you have a similarity. The same way as we're saying that the Chazan can't begin a certain word until the Tzibur has finished saying Amen, and the Koyanim can't begin a certain word until the Chazan has finished saying, and so on and so forth, you have a similar kind of thing as far as Kriyas Aferah. So for Amud of Zera, Amud of Chista, Einat Tzibur Rashoyin, Lanis Omen at Chitichla Brachim and Piakore. The Tzibur can't answer Omen until the Kore has finished saying the Bracha. You have to remember, back then they didn't have the concept of the Baal Kore. Everybody laying their own Aliyah. So the Kore himself would be the one saying the Bracha, and then he'd be laying. So you're not allowed to say Omen until he finished. Here also, Tosfos is saying, even though normally we would say you only have to wait until most people finish the bracha, that means finish saying Amen, because anybody who says Amen too long is making a mistake anyway. Here you have to, because of the issue of Tirei Koli Loi Mishtami, because otherwise people are not going to hear clearly. The Minhag is, in fact, the Baal Koda does the Amen very loud, Amen, and that gets everybody's attention to tell them to be quiet, because we don't know what Aleph, they have to be quiet, and that he's ready to start laying. So that's one din. Also, the ena kore rashoy likris vater. So I skip a line of you. Ena tzibur rashoy lanas omen at shetichla bracha mepiakore. The tzibur can't answer omen until the kore finishes the bracha. The ena kore rashoy likris vater at shetichla omen piatzibur. The kore can't start laning until the tzibur has finished saying omen. The ena matargum rashoy lahaskal matargum at shetichla posim mepiakore. The matargum back then when they would translate the Torah Posik by Posik, you'd have somebody standing over there and reading and then not reading because he had to do it Baal Peh, but he would be saying Targum Onkelos for the people so the Hamoinam could understand, because they didn't understand Lashon Kodesh. Ada Yemazeh, you have this, they do it in some Yemenite shuls. Anyway, the Targum is not allowed to start the Targum of Posik, Ad Sheyichal Posik Mepiyah Kodeh, until the Kodeh has finished the Posik that he's going to translate. Vein HaKodeh Rashoy LaHaskal Posik Acher, Ad Sheyichal Targum Mepiyah Targum, and the Kodeh is not allowed to begin the next Posik until the Targum has finished saying the Targum of that Posik. So again, they all have to wait on each other, basically. Nowadays, by the way, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. We don't do the Targum, because practically speaking, people don't know Aramaic anyhow. So doing the Targum wouldn't do any good, as far as we can't just do a translation into a different language, because only the Targum in Aramaic, it was done with Ruach HaKodesh, and it was given L'moshe Sinai, and Aramaic itself is a language that has a certain degree of Kedusha. Only that is Rory to be used in the Tzibur, not any other one. With that said, over a thousand years ago, Reb Sadia Goin translated the Torah into Arabic, because in those times, that was most Jews in the world spoke that, and there are Yemenite communities where they use his Targum instead of, or in addition to Targum Onkelos, and they translate the Torah that way, Pasuk by Pasuk, in the Tzibur. Okay. More dinim about Kriyas HaTorah. Omer Abtanchum, Omer Abishrom and Levi. Hamafter Banovi Tzorach Sheyikur V'Torah Tchila. The person who's reading that Torah has to first read from the Torah, because of the covet of the Torah, to show that people shouldn't think that Novi is on equal level with Torah. So the way it's explained in Shulchan Aruch, the way the Alter Rebbe explains it, the original way they used to do it is that the sixth aliyah, the way it used to work is that you would have the seventh aliyah would end a few psukim before the end of the parasha, then the eighth oila, the mafter, would lane those few psukim, and then after that, the haftorah. Eventually, though, in the times of the Rabban and Sivaroi, they made the takona to say kaddish between the first seven oilim and the eighth one, so people realized that there were supposed to be seven oilim, not eight. So then at that point now that Kaddish breaks things up. Now you can't say anymore, you should leave some of the parasha unlaned for the mafter. Instead, what you have is he repeats the last few psukim of the parasha. The mafter is not allowed to start saying the haftorah until the sefer Torah is wrapped up. So Rashi says the reason is because you don't want the people who are wrapping the Sefer Torah are going to be too busy to hear the Haftorah. They're going to be too busy wrapping up the Sefer Torah, and they're going to be distracted. The Me'iri gives a different reason, which is that this way they shouldn't be so interested in listening to the Haftorah that they're going to forget to finish wrapping up the Sefer Torah. A nafkamina between that would be, do you have to wait until the Sefer Torah is completely wrapped up, or is it enough that you wait until they begin? According to the Me'iri, that might be enough. Once they begin, we don't think they're going to interrupt it in the middle, whereas according to Rashi, we would have to wait until they end. That's how we do it in practice. The Omer of Tanchum Omer of Shimon Levi. The shliach tzibur is not allowed to undress the teva b'tzibur mipnei kvod tzibur because of the kavod of the tzibur. So Rashi explains like this. In those times, they didn't always keep the Sefer Torah in the shul. They would often keep it in a house near the shul, and they would bring it to shul for the laning. Now, when they brought it to shul, then when they put it down on the bima, they would decorate around the bima. They put fancy cloths or whatever in honor of the Sefer Torah. So now they'd lain. Now they're taking out the Sefer Torah to take it back to where they keep it. The chazan should not go and undress and take all those fancy cloths and whatever off the bima in front of the tzibur, because, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, they have to wait there until the Sefer Torah is taken out. So then it would be a tircha de tzibura to make them wait until he also undresses the bima. So therefore, what he should do is take the Sefer Torah to that other house, and then people can leave. People can finish davening and leave. And then he comes back by himself and takes off these cloths from the table. So that's lahaf shidas ha-table. Next, the tzibur is not allowed to leave the shul until the Sefer Torah is taken and placed where it's supposed to go. So again, in other words, if they're carrying it out of the shul, it would actually have to be, they'd have to wait until it's actually placed where it belongs, and then could they leave the shul. On the other hand, Shmuel disagrees, and he says, Ad Sheyetze. They just have to wait until the Sefer Torah is taken out of the shul. But as soon as it's taken out, then they'd be allowed to leave. But also, what Shmuel means is that Reb Tanchum was saying that only when it's taken out of the Oren is everybody allowed to leave. But Shmuel would say even once the Oren was opened, but even before they took out the Sefer Torah, then you wouldn't be allowed to leave. And the Gemara says, "V'loy pligi." There was actually no argument between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Shmuel. Hod ika pischa achrina. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is talking about where the shul has another door. So you have this one door where they're going to be taking out the Sefer Torah from, but people are allowed to go out during another door. It's not considered a bizoyan to the Torah because they're not walking out of the door ahead of the Sefer Torah. Hod like a pischa achrina, whereas Shmuel is talking about there's only one door, so then it would be disrespectful to go out in front of the Sefer Torah. So that's how Rashi learns the distinction, and then there are other explanations among the Rishonim about the details over here that it means as long as the Sefer Torah is in shul versus when it's being put back in the Aron, etc. So basically, as long as the Sefer Torah is there, then it's disrespectful to leave. Omar Rava. So Rava says, Bar Ahina Asbrali, Bar Ahina, the name of a Chacham, explain to me, because the Pasuk says, Achre Hashem Alekechem Telechu, you should follow Hashem, which implies the Sefer Torah, which is the covered of Hashem, you should be following it rather than walking in front of it. So therefore, it would be disrespectful to leave the shul through that very same door that you're going to take the Sefer Torah out of, ahead of the Sefer Torah. So instead, you let the whoever's carrying the Sefer Torah go out first, and only then you leave after them. Okay, getting now back to Birchas Kohenim. Bizman sha'koinim mevorchen asa'om mahen omrim. When the Kohenim are benching the people, when they're saying Birchas Kohenim, what do the people say? Now the point is, Rashi says, you want, on the face of it, the people should be saying something to show that they appreciate that Hashem has given them these brachas, so therefore they should be saying some psukim to reciprocate. They shouldn't just be standing there quietly. So what psukim should they be saying? So the Gemara says, Omer Abzeira, Omer Abchista, they say the following psukim from Tilim. Baruch Hu Hashem Malachim Giborei Chayach Begomer. Bless Hashem, you Malachim, you Hashem's Malachim, the mighty, powerful ones. Bless Hashem. Then the pasuk after that, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Tzvav Meshoes of Osir Ritzonei. Bless Hashem, all of his armies, his servants who do what he wants, who do his will. And the third pasuk, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Maaseh B'chol Mekomes Memshaltei, Baruch Hu Nafshi Hashem. All of Hashem's works in every place where Hashem rules, all of you, bless Hashem. And you finish off, Baruch Hinafshi Es Hashem, my soul, bless Hashem. So those are three psukim of saying to bless Hashem. So those correspond to the three psukim of Birkas Kohanim. So Rav Zeira is saying that you should be saying those during Birkas Kohanim. What about, that's by Shacharis, the Musfid Shabbos and Mahin Emrim. What about by Musaf of Shabbos, where Rashi explains that you have, it's a new duchening that you don't have on weekdays. Remember, this is, we're talking about back when they duchen every day, and on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they would duchen multiple times a day, which you have, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, and in most Kehillahs in Eretz Yisrael, and Sfardim and Chutz La'aretz do this Adayim Hazeh, whereas we Ashkenazim do it only once a day and only on Yom Tov. But so now, Musaf of Shabbos, in other words, is a new duchening that you don't have on weekdays. Therefore, you should have to say different psukim than you do on weekdays. So what psukim do you say then? So Mahen Omrim, Omer Abasi, you say the psukim, Shira Malas in Ebaruch was Hashem kol Avdei Hashem v'gomer, bless Hashem, all you servants of Hashem. And the next pasuk, Sur Yudechem Kodesh Ebaruch was Hashem, lift up your hands in holiness and bless Hashem. And then you skip to the end of the next capital and say, Baruch Hashem Yitzion, Sheikhen Yushalayim Halalukah, blessed is Hashem from Tzion, who dwells in Yushalayim, praise Hashem. So the Gemara asks, why are we skipping? What?
We don't say this.
We don't say these. We'll talk about soon in the Gemara whether we say such psukim or not. But wait. So the Gemara asks, why are we skipping like this? The first two psukim, Shira Malas and Suri Dechem Kurdish, are from Kapitol Kuf Lamed Dalet. Why are we skipping to the end of Kapitol Kuf Lamed Hey? The Lema Nami, why don't we say the third pasuk of Kapitol Kuf Lamed Dalet? Yivarachacha Hashem Mitzian, Dichti Bahu in Yonah. It says right there in that capital. The answer is Amar Yehuda Breidit of Shimon Pazi Mitoch Shehischo BeBrachosim Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, because you already began the first two psukim of brachas to Hashem. Hine Baruch Hu Hashem, Uvaruch Hu Hashem. Therefore Messiah BeBrachosim Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, we want to end off with a bracha of Hashem, whereas Yivarachacha Hashem Mitzia Neis Yishmael Meretz is a bracha to the people. So once you began with two psukim a bracha to Hashem, then you want to continue with a third pasuk of bracha to Hashem. Okay, b'minchosid ta'anisa mai amri. What about, what do they say when they duchen by mincha on fast days? Now, normally the Kohenim never duchen by mincha because the Gemara explains in Megillah, when people eat lunch, they may well drink wine with it. And once a Kohen has drunk wine, he's possible to do birkas Kohenim until the wine dissipates. So therefore, we don't want people duchening by mincha. However, by a tainis, in principle, you could, because people are fasting anyway. With that said, Tosfos says, the Gemara in Tainis says over there, the fact is, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that on a Tainis tzibur, we don't duchen by mincha, because it's true that people aren't drinking that day, but nevertheless, people may confuse it with mincha of a regular day. They may think if we duchen by mincha of a Tainis, we should duchen by mincha of a different day as well, and that would be a problem, because the Kohenim are going to be drunk. So we say of a kainu of a kavaseinu. This is why the Chazan says of a kainu of a kavaseinu by mincha on a tainus tzibur. But the kohenim never actually duchen, even in places where the minhag is to duchen by each tefillah. However, Tosfos says, first of all, we could be talking about over here according to the Stam Mishnah over there, who says that you do, or the Gemara says that there's a difference if on mincha if on the Tainus Tzibur they daven mincha very close to Shkia, which is not usually on other days. They daven, in those days at least, they daven mincha much earlier in the day, then therefore it's not going to be confused with mincha of a regular day, and therefore the Kohenim could legitimately duchen. Anyway, so by duchening by mincha of a tainis, if there is, my amri, what psukim do you say then? Again, it's a new duchening that you don't have other times. So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, you say the following psukim from Yirmiyah. This is the psukim I'm describing over there. There was a al divrei habatzores, there was a drought, and then Yirmiyah and the people are davening for Hashem to help them. So they say the psukim, im avinenu onu vanu, even if our avarice are speaking up against us, Hashem, asei l'man shmecha, Hashem, act for your sake. And you continue with the next pasuk, Mikve Yisrael, the hope of Yisrael, Moshiach Be'es Tzara, the one who helps the Jewish people in times of trouble, Lama Siyek Ger Ba'aretz V'emer, why should you be like a stranger in the land, as if like, Chas V'Shalom, you don't have the ability to help? And you continue with the next pasuk, Lama Siyek Ish Nidham, why should you be like a person, why should you act, Hashem, like a person who's stunned, like a person who's like shocked and he doesn't know what to do, K'gibur Lo Yuchal Lo Shiyev V'emer, like a mighty man who's unable to save. And it sounds like asking Hashem to save us. So now Tosfos pointed out, up until now, the psukim that we quoted until now, or that we show our appreciation for the brachas, the ones that we say every day, Baruch Hashem Malachav, the ones that we say by Musaf of Shabbos, Shira Malas and Baruch Hashem, this isn't anything like that. On the other hand, but here, why are they fasting? It's because of Tzara, so therefore it's a time for davening for Rachmanus, so therefore it's an appropriate time to be saying such psukim, even though you would think it doesn't belong during Birkas Koyanim, but it does because of the Tzara. Next, Ne'ila Diyem Yom Kippur Mai Omar, what do they say when they're duchening by Ne'ila of Yom Kippur? Tosfos actually wonders that sometimes on other Taniyas Tzibur, they would also daven Ne'ila. Why is the Gemara mentioning over here specifically Ne'ila of Yom Kippur? In fact, the Ritva said that it does mean other fasts as well, but the difference is Yom Kippur, it's always a definitive thing that you're going to say Ne'ilah, whereas other Taniyas Tzibur, not necessarily. And the fact is, nowadays, we only do it on Yom Kippur. Anyway, so what do you say then? Again, it's a new duchening that you don't have any other time, so you need new psukim. So the mazutra says, or others say it says in a braisa, you say the psukim from Tillim. This is how a person who fears Hashem should be blessed. These are three psukim again, back to back. Hashem should bless you from Tzion, and you'll see the good of your Yerushalayim all the days of your life. And the third pasuk, you'll see that your children will have children. Shalom on Yisrael, peace on Yisrael. So therefore, that was also correspond to the three psukim of Birkas Koyanim. Now, the next question is Heichan Omran. At what point are you saying these psukim? All these various groups of psukim that we're saying, where in Birkas Koyanim do you say them? Rabbi Yosef Amar Ben Kol Bracha O Bracha. So Rabbi Yosef says between each posuk of the brachas. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yosef, you're saying after Yivarach Hashem Yishmeracha, you're saying the first pasuk, after Yor Hashem Panav Elecha V'Chonecha, the second pasuk, and after Yisah Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yasam Lo HaShalem, the third one. Rav Sheisha Samabaz Toras Hashem, Rav Sheisha says you say them when Hashem's name is mentioned in the bracha. So when the Kohenim get to the Hashem of Yivarach Hashem Yishmeracha, then you answer with one of these psukim, and when you get to the Hashem of Yor Hashem Panav Elecha, and so and then wouldn't be considered a hefzik. However, Pligi Bar Amori V'Rav Zvid. Now, Rav Mori and Rav Zvid argue further about how you say the psukim. Chad Am Psuka L'Kovel Psuka. One says that it means one posuk corresponding to one posuk. So again, Koyim say the posuk Yivarachcha, and you say the first posuk, and so forth. V'Chad Am Akol Psuka Amaluhu L'Kulu. The other one between Rav Mori and Rav Zvid says that you say all three psukim by all three of them. So according to him, after Yivarachcha or after Hashem's name of Yivarachcha, whatever, you would say all three psukim, and then you would repeat the same three psukim after Yor Hashem Panav, and again the same three psukim after Yisah Hashem Panav Elach. Now, do you in fact say these psukim? So the Pchiba Abba says, anybody who says those outside the Beis Mikdash is making a mistake. They're only meant to be said in the Beis Mikdash in honor of the fact that the Shema Mefodosh is being used there in Duchni. In fact, Rav Chanina bar Papa says, really, you should know, in the Beis Mikdash, you also shouldn't be saying it. Since when, how could you have a slave who was given a bracha and he doesn't listen and instead he's saying something of his own? So why should he be saying psukim? With that said, the Meiri understands Rav Chanina bar Papa to be saying that he's saying, I agree that in principle, really, you shouldn't be saying him in the Beis Mikdash. But the fact is, because you have to have covered for the Shema Mefodosh over there, therefore in the Beis Mikdash, it's appropriate to say them. But I agree with Rav Chiya bar Abba that you shouldn't be saying them outside the Beis Mikdash. On the other hand, Omer of Acha Bachanina, Teda de Begvulin Nami, Meboilim Amrinu. On the other hand, Rav Acha Bachanina said, you should realize that even outside the Beis Mikdash, you're supposed to be saying such a token. Klum Yesh Ebed Shemavochen Oise Vein Mazbek on him. Since when do you have an Ebed that you bench him and he doesn't show that he appreciates it by reciprocating with a bracha to his master? So in fact, Amar Rabba, Mereish Hava Amin Alahusa. In fact, Rabba says, I used to say these psukim, Kivin Chazin Alei Rab Abba, Dem in Akko, Dem Amal Ahu, Ano Nami Lai Amin Alahu. Once I saw Rab Abba from Akko did not say them, then I don't say them anymore either, because I realized that what he's saying is correct. Lamaisa, what do we have? So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings the two opinions. There is the opinion, based on what we're saying over here, that Begvulin, certainly outside the Beis Mikdash, maybe even in it, you shouldn't be saying psukim at all. You should be, just be concentrating on what the Kohenim say. On the other hand, the Ramah explains that the fact is the Kohenim in most places sing of a whole nigun between one word and the next. We have the one that was made by the Mittel Rebbe's Kapelya and different other Kehilas. They have different other ones. So during that singing, it might be appropriate to say Psukim. And in fact, you can find in Nusach Ashkenaz, Sidurim, and Machzurim, you can find a Pasuk, not the same Psukim that we're saying here in the Gemara, but different Psukim, one for each word. When the Kohenim are singing before Yivarachacha, they say the Pasuk Yivarachacha Hashem Etzion, and when they say Hashem, when the Kohenim are singing before the name Hashem, then you say Hashem Adinenu Moad Hashem Chabachol Aretz, and by V'yishmerecha, they say Shamreni Keoki Chasisi Bach, so you find such a thing in Nusach Ashkenaz, Sidurim and Machzorim, but our minhag is that none of the above, we stay quiet and we listen to what the Kohenim are saying, with the exception of, now we do say the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for dreams, while the Kohenim are singing before V'yosim L'chol Sholem, and the Beis Yosef explains because a bad dream is a very serious thing. You see, a person is even allowed to fast for it on Shabbos. So therefore, for that, you can make an exception and say it while the Kohenim are singing. But otherwise, anything else, such as the Pesukim we're saying over here, then not. Okay. Shabbat shalom, everyone.